The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Welcome to Breaking Beauty, the podcast all about the breakthrough people, products, and moments in beauty. We're your hosts, Jill Dunn and Carleen Higgins.
Hello and welcome back to Breaking Beauty Podcast, everyone. We're your hosts, Carleen and Jill, two beauty editors turned beauty podcasters. Hi, Jill.
Hey, Carleen. So welcome back to the show, BBs. I guess that's what we're officially calling our audience these days. Did we make that official?
I don't think we made it official. We got to run that poll on Instagram.
Right.
And then the people will decide.
I love that. So this week, we're welcoming Brooke Harvey Taylor to the podcast. She is the founder and president of Pacifica Beauty, a 100% vegan and cruelty-free beauty brand that's been leading innovation in clean beauty for nearly 30 years. And Pacifica invited us to LA to sit down in person with Brooke, which is always the nice, best way to have conversation and get to know a brand founder. So we will also post this interview on YouTube as well. So check us out at Breaking Beauty Podcast.
Yes. And Pacifica is seriously one of the OGs in this space. I think they're kind of low key for some reason. If you think about the green beauty movement, I'm going to call it that because Jill, you and I have been doing this for probably 20 years each at this point and really watched the evolution of what is now called the clean beauty revolution. And it started out being called green beauty. And it was really in the natural food store aisles, you know, and so we watched it sort of come from there, go to the beauty aisles, become this big luxury boom with brands like RMS Beauty, Tata Harper, and to where it is today with, you know, the clean at Sephora kind of guidelines and now even the pushback toward clean beauty and what that means. And I think what's interesting is that through the whole thing, Pacifica has been there. They were really one of the pioneers, but you don't hear about that as much. And one of the things that I do appreciate about this brand is that they have really accessible price points. You know, they've always had fair pricing, and I don't think you can say that for all of the brands that have come up since then.
We always talk about the best seller from a brand. We always want to sort of like drill down and understand that because Pacifica does have so many SKUs, and their number one bestseller to date is the Glow Baby Booster Serum. And what I like about it is that there's actually vitamin C in there and there's glycolic acid and my favorite ingredient, which is glycerin. So it's not like drying, even though it is like meant to be brightening and a bit exfoliating, this serum. It's $18, which is kind of insane, and it's $24 in Canada. So it's super affordable. It's also in this very luxe-feeling glass packaging with the dropper, got that pretty coral bottle. It feels like it should be double the price, honestly.
Yeah. So we're going to get into the origin story of Pacifica with Brooke today. So like we mentioned, it's all about natural ingredients, sustainable packaging, and community and compassion as its core values. Brooke founded Pacifica with her husband, Billy Taylor, Pacifica's CEO, in Portland, Oregon in 1996. And they actually started out, a lot of people might not know this, as it was Brooke with her aromatherapy business. She was a certified aromatherapist. And what's really cool is that this year, you might say the brand is coming full circle with a line of functional fragrances made with plant-based ingredients. So she's really going back to her roots as an aromatherapist.
Yeah, that's right. And I understand that they did have a couple of fragrances in their lineup, but it's, you know, just sort of been refreshed for this year. Mm-hmm. And they're using what they're calling aroma power, meaning that they do use certain scents to kind of uplift your mood, impact your mind. Mm-hmm. And I was saying to you and to Brooke, like the packaging of them was giving me all the feels because they feel like they're from the 90s in the best way possible. Like they were giving me flashbacks to my Gap perfumes right. and my Body Shop perfumes. And, you know, I love that they're sort of, you can experiment with a lot of different scents because they're under $30.
Yeah, exactly. They have a kind of like a freshness and a naivete, but I like that they're also like unisex. So there's, you know, yes. nothing is like too sweet or cloying or anything like that. Not 90s like that. So they're yeah. really fun. And there's like body mists as well. And Brooke is going to explain to us, she's going to actually give us a mini tutorial on which notes to reach for if you want to feel a certain way in your own daily life. Plus, we're going to get into why Pacifica is actually moving away from the phrase clean beauty and why the brand is proudly here for the every girl, the every woman, the every gender, really, with their activism.
Yeah, I really learned so much about Brooke. It was so great to sit with her. And I think all of you will enjoy this chat very much. So welcome to Breaking Beauty, Brooke Harvey Taylor. Pausing to shout out Macy's, one of our longtime show partners. So right when this episode drops, I'm actually heading to New York for a couple of days. It is for work, but I do have some downtime. And one of the things on my to-do list is the Macy's annual flower show. You know, it's just the perfect way to welcome the spring season. I've always wanted to check it out in person, so the timing couldn't be better. From now until April 7th, Macy's Herald Square flagship store in New York will transform into a garden blossoming with thousands of flowers. It's free and it's open to the public during store hours. You can shop exclusive flower show souvenirs, and you can find curated items with floral flourishes. They have everything from tote bags to puzzles, and they even have a selection of special gifts that are budding with blooms for Mother's Day. So be sure to check that out too to get inspired. And for a fragrance lover like me, I'm really excited to check out Dior's takeover of the Macy's Mezzanine to celebrate the latest incarnation of the Miss Dior fragrance. So you can learn more right now at Macy's.com/flower show. So once again, that's at Macy's Herald Square from now until April 7th. And friendly PSA, the Macy's Herald Square location will be closed on Easter Sunday, March 31st. But other than that, check it out from now until April 7th. You can learn more at Macy's.com/flower show. Once again, check it out at Macy's.com/flower show. Now back to the show.
Hey friends, my name's Olivia Perez and I'm an entrepreneur, journalist, and the host of the Friend of a Friend podcast. Every Monday, I meet with some of today's youngest and brightest entrepreneurs to make space to tell their stories and shine a light on who I believe to be the next generation of luminaries. I'll interview up-and-comers and game changers, from brand builders to personalities, activists, artists, and thought leaders from around the world. Each episode lets you be a fly on the wall during one of the greatest pep talks, like a conversation between you and a friend, or a friend of a friend. See you there.
Hi, Brooke. Welcome to Breaking Beauty Podcast. What we do with our founder episodes, we go way back to before you started the brand. And I think what a lot of people might not realize, we're going to talk about this in today's episode, is that Pacifica actually got started in 1996. So you really were one of the pioneers in, it was probably called green beauty at the time. But tell us what you were up to before starting Pacifica.
Okay, I love this question. I feel like my whole life led to Pacifica. So I grew up on a cattle ranch in Montana, and we raised our own cattle. We raised our own chickens and sheep and all sorts of animals. And my sister and I were 4-H kids, which mm-hmm. meant we, some people don't know what that is.
But had health and hands, baby. I was one too.
Amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. And so we raised sheep. And as a kid, I realized that, you know, when you're in 4-H, you wind up going and touring the slaughterhouse. And so it was a moment where I put it all together, like, oh my gosh, we're eating our pets. Mm. And that was a really big moment for me because it led to my pursuit around veganism and thinking about animal rights. And that's a part of Pacifica and a really important part of Pacifica. And another thing is that when I was growing up, my mom was diagnosed with MS. And so she became really obsessed with the food that we ate and mm-hmm. how we thought about our diets and how we thought about food. And so one of the things that she had my sister and I do was work at the local food co-op, which was a health food store at the time. And she was an early member there. And we would stock the shelves. You could kind of choose your job. And we had to work, I don't know, it was like 5 hours a week to get a discount. And so I always chose the HABA department, which is the health and beauty department. And I would stock vitamins and skincare. And then I would think, oh my gosh, I could make this so much prettier. And what would it be like to have my own beauty brand? And I started really thinking about having my own brand. And when I was only like 12. And so that was an important part of my childhood. And then when I was a teenager, I read the book Jitterbug Perfume. And it's by Tom Robbins. It's a super fun book. It's actually, I don't know if it's available on audio, but it would be really fun on audio. No. But it's about this guy who's a king. And when he got a gray hair, he was going to be killed because you couldn't age as a king. And so he figured out, he escaped, and then he figured out how to live forever. And then he met this woman who was going to be burned because her husband died. And then he was like, come live forever with me. And so they went on these, you know, crazy hijinks. And then the cool thing is that she wore this particular perfume. And when she was like, I'm done living forever. It's been like 400 years. I want to die. She figured out how to die. But the scent of her kind of, he would smell it when she'd walk into a room, or she was, you know, if she was a spirit or whatever, he would smell her. And so it started talking about the idea that scent is transcended, and it's this, you know, it goes beyond time and space. And I got really excited about that. And I started really thinking about scent and how much I loved it. And then when I moved to Eugene, Oregon, I apprenticed with an aromatherapist. And that's where I got, it's also where I tasted avocados for the first time and learned about veganism, really, and that there were people called vegans. That wasn't a thing when I was a Montana kid. And that really led me to Pacifica. And I wound up meeting my boyfriend, the now husband, and he was like, we should turn this into a brand. We should turn your ideas into a brand. And he was really a pusher of being an entrepreneur.
So aromatherapy, that definitely captures an era. And so how did you kind of like, well, actually, first of all, tell us about aromatherapy. Is there there's a science to it? Like,
yeah. So aromatherapy is really, it's the practice of using aromatic materials, essential oils, but also scented materials to improve your well-being. So I think it's really important to note that it's a complementary therapy. And so it's something that you, like a massage, think of aromatherapy as a massage. It's going to complement what you're doing on a path, your journey, your wellness journey, and or your healing journey. It's just a complementary piece to that. And there's really great science around how aromatherapy helps cancer patients when they're going through chemo. Again, it's not curing cancer, but it's just helping relieve stress, relieve anxiety. It's really great for your mind. And so that's how I always think about aromatherapy, is I approach it as it's a part of the puzzle, and it's a part of helping your mind and helping alleviate stress or anxiety or helping affect your mood. There's some really good science around how people with depression or people who lose their sense of smell wind up being depressed because your sense of smell is so critical to your mental state and to memories and to, you know, all sorts of things. And I actually got COVID about a year and a half ago and lost my sense of smell. And so it was a real journey for me. And that also led to get my sense of smell back, because being a perfumer and using scent every day and how important it is to my life, that was like my one fear of getting, my biggest fear of getting COVID is like, I cannot lose my sense of smell. And it felt like my identity. And so when I lost it, I thought, well, it'll come back. And then fast forward like 4 months later, hadn't come back. 6 months later, I couldn't smell as much as I, you know, hardly anything still. And so I had to train my brain to start smelling again. And I actually worked with a friend of mine who's a perfumer who sent me a kit. And he said, he explained how a lot of perfumers during COVID who lost their sense of smell would retrain their brains around smelling and use this particular kit that had different things that we knew, like coffee and mint and things that you're like, okay, brain, this is mint. And so I practiced that. And then, but it still was about a year later that my sense of smell finally started coming back. And now it's back.
I wondered, with aromatherapy, is it triggering, just I know we can't get too deep into the science, but is it triggering a memory and that's the power of aromatherapy? Or is it actually kind of like a taking a acetaminophen when you have a headache where it's actually doing something to the chemicals? Do you know?
There is science that says both. So a particular scent, let me give you an example, like lemongrass has a there's a reaction that more people than not get when they smell lemongrass, like a feeling of joy or a feeling of, you know, bliss. And so it's a commonality to us as humans, mm-hmm. that certain scents, and it's the molecular makeup, I imagine, of the scent helps us feel a certain way. But then there's also a whole practice around people with PTSD and using scent as an anchor, so mm-hmm. that if you have had an experience that's incredibly negative, but you have a scent that you love, grandma's cookies or whatever, you can use that to recalibrate the way that you're experiencing something. And so you can, you know, you can use, that's not aromatherapy by traditional perspectives, but mm-hmm. that to me, that's how I see it.
Right. And so I read that you were selling these essential oil fragrances at Grateful Dead concerts. How did you go from that to the Isles of Ulta?
So when I was apprenticing as an aromatherapist, I was far more interested in blending perfumes. And so the person I worked for would be in her room doing her modality. And she also did all sorts of other things with the essential oils. And I would be blending the recipe and then I would be blending my perfume for the day. And so I would be probably a nightmare employee because I'm like, I'm going to do my own thing. And so I would make my own perfumes. And then friends would say, oh my gosh, you smell amazing. What are you wearing? And so I'd started making perfumes for friends. And then I thought, you know what, I'm going to just try and sell these. And the Grateful Dead was coming. It was Eugene, Oregon in the, you know, early 90s. And so I blended a bunch of perfumes mm-hmm. in little bottles, cute little bottles, and put a cute little label on them and sold them at the Grateful Dead concert. And that gave me this like feeling of that entrepreneurial rush. Mm-hmm. And so I then started selling them at the little fairs on Saturday markets.
Like
Saturday
markets.
Yes. And then from there, it just grew into the first products that we launched at Pacifica were 7 perfumes. And back in 1996, 97, there weren't really boutique perfumes in the world. It was, you had the designer perfumes or you had like the celebrity perfumes locked in cases at the drugstore. But there wasn't that kind of in between. And there were, people shifting the industry like Jo Malone and people that had their own stores, and the Body Shop was kind of playing with it. But so it was really early days. And so we didn't really have a market for the perfumes. And so we put them into candles, and that's what took off were our candles, even though they were part of the perfumes. But then we brought perfumes into the natural products world and that became a business. And so it wasn't until 2013 that we launched at Ulta. So we've been, it was a long haul in natural
journey.
Food stores.
Wow.
Till it became more mainstream and more interesting to have a brand like Pacifica mm-hmm. at Ulta.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. Well, it's sort of, I feel like there was a whole period, I remember, brands that were coming out of the natural food stores, but they were really premium. They were mm-hmm. priced premium. And so that part of the evolution was like, okay, people want this, but more at an affordable price. And I feel like that's when Pacifica kind of was right there and waiting.
It totally was. It's right. That's when really when we took off was the economy was shifting to around 2012. And Pacifica was there where the customer finally was ready to meet us in that space. And so, and for me, growing up a kid in Montana and not, like Kmart was our big store, our big splurge. And I always wanted products to be accessible for our customers. It's been a really, it's part of our brand DNA and a really part of my values.
Right. Yeah. So when were you inspired to get into skincare? Because that came a little bit after the perfumes. So tell me about that.
Yeah. So we launched skincare in about 2008 mm-hmm. and we had body care and skincare, and it was a response to the scents, mm-hmm. bringing body care into, we had body butters and we put our fragrances, our scents into body butters. And that was the first part of skincare. And then I went to school to be an esthetician because I was so excited about skincare. And so I wanted to have a skincare line. And so I learned a ton about skincare. And I actually found an incredible natural chemist to work with around creating the skincare line. And so we launched a skincare line early, early on, which has changed and morphed over the years. Mm-hmm. But it was more around my vision around natural ingredients and flowers and mm-hmm. and aromatherapy mm-hmm. and how we could bring these into a skincare product that mm-hmm. felt tactile and experiential mm-hmm. and smelled amazing and was really efficacious, mm-hmm. but also affordable. And so we launched that at Whole Foods. That was the first okay. place we launched skincare. Mm.
So did you complete that? Like, are you a certified esthetician?
So I didn't go to get my license.
You dropped out.
Beauty school dropout.
I went through the whole beauty school yeah. in Portland. But then I was like, you know what? I want to continue my skincare brand. I mm-hmm. yeah. don't want to be an esthetician. However, I did partner with one of the women who was one of my besties in school. And she and I wrote a manual, a back bar manual together. Mm. And we actually had back bar products back then.
Really?
So
we
actually had skincare in spas. We were in the Four Seasons in Costa Rica.
Holy jeez.
Yeah, and places amazing. Like that. So mm-hmm. we've had quite a long
skincare
journey.
Okay, she knows
journey.
What's up.
Yeah.
So the Glow Baby Vitamin C Serum, that's a more recent launch, isn't it? Like it's 5 years, 6 years ago?
So
or?
it's a reincarnation
oh, okay.
of a vitamin C serum that we launched with early, early on. That was one of our first launches.
Okay.
But Glow Baby morphed into a really beautiful glass package with a new name.
Yeah.
And we launched that around 2000, probably, I have to look back, but 2017-ish.
Yeah, because I remember when that launched, I covered something in there, in that range. And is that the best seller now?
Yes, our Glow Baby Serum is yeah. our best-selling product.
That's amazing.
It's really effective. People who use it, like, freak out and love it. It smells good. We're really proud of that whole collection. So
yeah.
we then took it into a face wash and we have some like glycolic pads that go along with it. So
right.
it's a full line now.
I'm curious because it's only $18 and there are a lot of vitamin yeah. C's out there and you have a lot of SKUs. Like, so what is it about that particular vitamin C product that you think, and it's also hard to stabilize and mm-hmm. you know, it's a bit fickle. So what's the magic in the bottle?
The magic in that bottle is we are using a stabilized form of vitamin C, but we're also using Kakadu plum. So Kakadu plum is a natural extract that has, I think, like 1,000 times more vitamin C than like an orange or something like that. But it's really also a carrier of vitamin C. And so it just has that extra slug of ingredients that work really well. And mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I think for our consumer, and for me, it's really important that our products are incredibly efficacious mm-hmm. for the right price point. And so we're not dumbing down the ingredients. We're making sure that we're using them at levels that really affect your skin, work really well. And we are really mindful constantly of our price point. It's yeah. it's a really important part of what we do. And it's something that we've set out, you know, we say it every day to the whole team, like we're really thoughtful around not mm-hmm. overpricing our products and making sure that we're creating a really valuable offering for our consumer. I think that's part of our compassion position right. as a brand.
Yeah.
Really right. important.
And did you do clinicals on the vitamin C as well?
We have.
Yeah.
Yeah. We run yeah. clinicals on vitamin C. Mm-hmm. Where we went really deep in our clinicals uh-huh. is our new line called Future Youth.
Okay.
And that's where we have 10-day and 4-week clinicals mm-hmm. and before and afters to really show the effect of that particular ingredient that we're using in that collection. And that's called our Flora Peptide 11. So it has 11 ingredients and it's really efficacious and it's shown clinically to really help, like our eye serum, for instance, mm-hmm. really affects crow's feet, really helps affect the appearance of your skin, both short-term and long-term. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to create a line that was about longevity and was about keeping your skin looking amazing because mm-hmm. we're all figuring out how to live longer and we're all figuring yeah. out how we want to take better care of our bodies. And I think taking care of your skin is a really big part of that because
yeah.
I want to look amazing when I'm 104.
Yeah, 100%.
That's right.
Factor is one of our show partners this week. So I live by myself and I have to tell you,
when 6 p.m. rolls around and I need to make dinner, it's just like the thought of the prepping, the cooking, the cleanup, I just can't even deal. So that's why I love the concept of Factor so much, because every fresh, never frozen meal is chef crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes flat. You just heat and eat. Now, that's my kind of dinner. It's fast, affordable, and you'll never get bored with the options of Factor meals because their menu changes weekly. So you'll have more than 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Keto, and Protein Plus. I know so many people are trying to get more protein these days, so I love that as an option. And you can discover a wide variety of easy options for the whole day. There's even breakfast choices, midday bites, smoothies, and more. And I really appreciate that it's flexible to your schedule, so you can get as much or as little as you need by choosing your meals every week. Plus, you can pause or reschedule your deliveries at any time. And great news for Breaking Beauty listeners, we have a very special offer. So you can sign up and save today. We've done the math. Factor is actually less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. So head to factormeals.com/beauty50 and use code beauty50 to get 50% off. That's code beauty50 at factormeals.com/beauty50 to get 50% off. Once again, factormeals.com/beauty50. Use code beauty50 to get 50% off. We'll link to this offer in our show notes and on our website. Now back to the show.
Today's episode is brought to you in part by Impress. My daughter, who is 13, is a budding beauty lover. As you might imagine, there's only one product that she's ever taken from my beauty closet without asking me first. It's the Impress manicure. Right now, she's wearing an almond-shaped, almost like a jelly nail look from the Bare But Better collection. They look so good. It's like a professional manicure for a fraction of the price. And you can tell she feels just like a queen wearing them. And I know that feeling. I've often reached for Impress manicure when I need a nail look fast. I've used them when I'm shooting social media and I'm holding a product in my hands. I've even used these on New Year's Eve before because they look so damn good and they are so damn easy. Y'all know I'm lazy slash busy and there's no glue needed. You just peel back the adhesive and press them on in one step. And just like that, you're done. Lasts up to 7 days and there's no damage to natural nails. Plus, you've got to know about Impress press-on falsies lashes. Same idea. No glue. I repeat, there is no glue. It's a patented super hold adhesive, and it's the first of its kind in this category. Lasts up to 24 hours. They come in clusters, so it's more of like a minimal look, I would say. You can get barely there, but they do have more kind of voluminous, almost like performance styles, if that's your preference. And again, you press them on, they go under your natural lashes, so the bands are invisible and it gives you kind of more of a minimal, more believable look and feel. Love that. My daughter hasn't discovered these yet. Those can be our little secret for now. And even though they're already so affordable, we have an amazing promo code for y'all. Visit impressbeauty.com/breakingbeauty and use code breakingbeauty at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and press on falsies. That's 25% off using code Breaking Beauty. We're going to link to this offer in our show notes and on our website. And now back to our guest. So I think it's great and perfect timing, really, that you're kind of coming 360 with this brand with the relaunch of aromatherapy fragrances. So you had some already, but you're launching three new ones and it's new packaging and it all has to do with aromatherapy. Is that right?
So we call it Aroma Power. And for me, that's a mashup of aromatherapy meets classical perfuming because I think that there's limits, obviously, in aromatherapy. I love perfumes. I am not like a stickler around, oh, must be, you know, this particular brand or must come from Whole Foods. Like I love smelling all perfumes in the world. I can't get enough of it. And so I really wanted to take classical perfuming, but bring in those ideas around aromatherapy where they're, you know, this perfume will inspire joy. This perfume will be more grounding. Mm-hmm. And so that's the approach we took. So they're really perfumes. And so every single
one in front of you, I'm going to have a look.
Smell
Montana
it?
Sky. Of course.
Yes. That makes sense. It's a nod to my home.
I'm going to do a little spritz.
She's doing it, everyone.
Live spritzing.
Ooh, that's pretty.
So is it an eau de parfum or what is it?
So we use a really good slug in our perfumes of scent, of mm-hmm. the scent material, because again, I want it to, one, we don't use phthalates.
Okay.
So we have, that does cause elastability issues. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if anyone complains about our perfumes, they don't last for 24 hours
right.
or they don't last long enough, but that's because, you know, we're not using phthalates. And mm-hmm. I think that's an ingredient we just won't use. We've never used it in our perfumes. Mm-hmm. When I first started learning about classical perfuming, they're like, oh, well, we'll bring this ingredient into, you know, you have to make sure if you're using essential oils, we boost it with phthalates.
Right.
And I'm like, what's a phthalate?
Right.
And so I really learned a lot and went down the rabbit hole on that. So I really feel like we're probably one of the first brands that started positioning ourselves as phthalate free.
Right.
And so that's one of the things that's key around Pacifica and this particular launch as well.
I noticed one of the ingredients that you sort of call out is natural grain alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the significance there?
Yeah, so when you can actually use like a petrol-based chemical alcohol, mm-hmm. or you can use a beet or corn mm-hmm. or sugar grain-based alcohol. And so that's, we're using the natural grain alcohol versus the petrochemical. And for me, I'll avoid petrochemicals whenever we can and in anything.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to kind of come up with this assortment? So how many are there?
There's seven now.
Scents.
Mm-hmm. And what we did, so we've always had perfumes, mm-hmm. as you know.
Yeah.
And so what we did was we took our best-selling perfumes and combined them into one cohesive collection that looked fresh and new, and we doubled the juice. That's the other thing our consumers are like, well, I use up my perfume so fast.
Okay.
And so we doubled the juice. So they're even better value than they were before and they last longer. And we use a screw cap. So you can take the cap off. Most perfumes you'll notice are crimped.
Right.
But we custom mold the glass so that you can use that screw cap. So you can take it off. You can reuse it if you want, but you can also recycle it, mm-hmm. which is really meaningful to me. And then also I wanted the glass to feel kind of like 60s milk glass.
Yeah,
and it's cute.
Yeah, and have this little kind of milk glass vibe. My grandmother always collected milk glass and I'm obsessed with milk glass. And so I was really pushing for that. You can really see it in the Indian coconut nectar that's white. It's all really super
What's
milky.
Your personal favorite? Is there like a personal story?
Montana Sky is my personal favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's just a nod to that, like the smell of the sky, that ozonic mm-hmm. note that mm-hmm. you get, and then bringing that down to something that's really grounding. So we're using like vetiver and smoky notes in there and sage and things that smell like just that kind of wild country. And mm-hmm. so I think it's really sexy. I also think I love the idea of having unisex scents
mm-hmm.
and most of our scents in my mind are unisex mm-hmm. and really developed for anyone to wear. 20% of our consumers are men. And so it's really important that we serve customers.
Is this the number one bestseller now? Like for the fragrances?
Well, no, I thought it would be.
Okay.
Like my prediction was this, which I'm often wrong. My favorites aren't always our bestsellers, but so far it's passion fruit.
Oh, interesting.
Mm.
Which is also really unisex. And it's has really some beautiful deep notes, but it also has that a little bit of, I don't want to say powderiness to it, but there's a little bit of, you know, like when you smell a dry fruit and you have this like dryness in the scent, it's a really hard
it's
scent
not as
to describe.
Juicy. Is this what you're saying?
It's not like just fully juicy, sweet, syrupy.
Obvious.
Yeah, it has that little bit of a dry, like dry fruit note to it that's really beautiful.
As a trained aromatherapist, can you give us like a little 101, aside from the lavender to go to sleep, like what would be three notes to look for to feel a certain way?
Okay, well, we are using, I'll speak to the ones that we're using.
Yeah.
We use jasmine. So jasmine is a scent that is really calming. Mm-hmm. And I love putting jasmine oil on my wrists and I always use it with anything I'm wearing. I'll carry this little tiny vial of jasmine grandiflorium. It's, you know, like $35 for this little vial that I buy, but it just smells incredible and it's really relaxing and calming. And so sometimes I smell it and if I'm feeling anxiety or stress. And so jasmine is one that I always turn to and recommend for people.
Okay.
Sandalwood is another, and that's incredibly grounding. And so it's a scent that you can, you know, if you're feeling just kind of jittery and like, oh my gosh, I can't focus, I can't get grounded. Sandalwood is a really grounding scent. Mm-hmm. And then one that we're not using in our blends today, but I'll bring it up, is lemongrass, and it's one of my personal favorites. But it also is a scent that does help kind of bring in a sense of focus. Like if you have to study and you have to, it's to me, that's different than grounding in that if it helps you like really get or zoomed in on something. Okay. And so lemongrass is one that I recommend. Like if you have
smells so good.
Oh, lemongrass. I love lemongrass.
Yeah.
I know. It's polarizing in that some people think it smells like cleaning products and some people love it and smell the sweetness and the beautiful notes that are in there. So maybe like cilantro, it's one of those notes that different brains interpret it differently. Right.
Okay.
I love that.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people out there listening who maybe love perfume, but they feel like it doesn't love them back. Like it might irritate or whatnot. So I imagine you did a lot of like testing around sensitivity and stuff. So is there anything you learned like that for someone who is scent sensitive, what they might enjoy, what they might not, or what might suit them better?
Yeah. You know, I think if you're looking for perfumes and you're sensitive to scent and it's a hard area for you, but you love it.
Yeah.
Look for brands that are phthalate free. I think that's a great place to start because those brands are generally really paying attention to.
So phthalates can be
irritating
to all your senses. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. And so, but beyond just the phthalate, a brand that's going to make that claim, and this is not not everybody, but this is just a generalization. That brand hopefully is looking at all the chemicals that they're using in their fragrances and really giving it a second thought and thinking about what they're using. I also think, you know, brands that are Credo Clean are good brands for people who are sensitive to scent, and, you know, or brands that are on the Ulta Conscious Beauty list would be brands that I would trust, you know, if you're thinking about fragrances that may or may not irritate you. But everybody does have different sensitivities, so it's really important to be able to test it, use it, and you know, just a small amount to see how you experience it and how it works for you.
Right. Okay. So I heard you on another podcast and you mentioned that you're moving away from the phrasing clean beauty toward compassion standards. So I wondered what the reasoning is for that and why you're pulling back from the clean beauty, you know, moniker that's been really like dominant in the past 5 years.
Yeah. Well, a couple things. I think the clean beauty movement is awesome. So I'm not anti-clean beauty and I love the movement. I love clean beauty. What I want to do is really be clear around defining what Pacifica stands for and what our standards are so that the consumer really understands. You know, originally we were called natural beauty. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, that was like, everybody's like, well, you're not 100% natural. So how are you natural? So then clean, like a little history of clean beauty would be, clean was a term that was used in the back labs. Our chemists used it, and it was a term that we would use for ingredients that weren't natural, but that didn't appear on anybody's no list or blacklist. So they weren't on Whole Foods list. They weren't on, you know, a list that was popping up from a retailer. And so those were called clean ingredients. And then that word kind of migrated into the consumer facing space. And, you know, we just fell into it because it's not something we were like, we're a clean beauty brand. Right. It just defined us and several other brands. And really that were brands that were editing the palette of ingredients that we were choosing to use based on, you know, the fact that there was potential, you know, issues with those ingredients. It doesn't mean we were rejecting science either. Yeah. When people bring up clean versus science, I'm like, it's not, those aren't two things that you kind of come into, you know, against
one
another.
They're not mutually exclusive.
They're not mutual. Yes. Thank you. Yes. They're not mutually exclusive. They're, you know, we're forced to use, if you limit your palate, you have to be really thoughtful around the chemistry that you're using. And so, but for me, our brand goes far beyond the ingredients. So it's really about how we think about the planet, how we think about our packaging. And that clean beauty doesn't always address that. And then I think how we think about how we're talking to our consumer, you know, our stance on social justice, how we're making sure that we're using our brand to do good, how we think about animals. Clean beauty isn't always 100% vegan and, you know, generally cruelty-free for sure at this point. But, you know, though for us, we're just bigger than that in the way that we think about our values. And so we call those our compassion standards because it encompasses more of our value position. And it's not that we're just a clean brand, even though I think, you know, like I said, clean is great. And I love clean brands. Yeah. And there's amazing ones out there.
So we're talking about clean beauty and transparency, which is so big in 2024. And I was reading on a Reddit thread, people are curious about the biotin and glycerin in some Pacifica formulas, being that you're a vegan brand. So how would you respond to that?
Well, there are incredible non-animal-based products that are also animal-based. So glycerin could be, you know, come from animals or it could come from vegetables. Ours is a vegetable glycerin that we always use. Biotin could be an animal base. It's also in avocados and nuts and chickpeas, but ours is synthetic. So we use a synthetic form. And even when you think about ingredients, that what's really exciting today is that there's all these fermented lab-grown ingredients coming out where they're able to create, you know, kind of biomimetic ingredients like vegan collagen and things like that, which are better for the planet, use less water, don't harm animals. And so we're embracing that technology as well. You know, there's a lot of really interesting things happening, but we're really true to our word when we say we're 100% vegan.
Yeah.
We are. Okay. I love Reddit, though. I do get down the rabbit hole on some Reddit threads.
Yeah.
No, it's nothing more fun,
that's where you get
please.
The real talk. And if you can answer to it, then you're golden. Like, it's people who try to dodge it. I'm like, why? You know, not answering the tougher questions. But I love it. So we're going to have to take this clip and drop it into the Reddits because now they're going to know. So what's the number one example of something that Pacifica has done that you believe has had the greatest positive impact on people and the planet?
Yeah, so there's lots of things for us. But the one thing that I'm really excited about right now, as a brand, we believe in taking accountability. Being a brand isn't an act of sustainability at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. It's you know, we're using resources, et cetera. So I feel like it has been important. You know, we've migrated a lot of our products from plastic to glass or aluminum, really thinking about our impact in packaging. But as we use plastic, we have chosen to partner with a group called Plastic Collective. Mm-hmm. And Pacifica and Plastic Collective are the two we're funding, a group called the Asase Foundation. And what the Asase Foundation does is it's a women-led, community-based plastic waste collection and recycling project that was established in 2019. And it's a project that starts small social recycling enterprises, so they're social enterprises, to help support families and women in Ghana. And what they do is they collect plastic, they recycle it on site. Plastic Collective was founded by a woman who became just really obsessed with, how do I create on-site recycling situations so that we can collect plastic in these areas that have this huge problem? And so it's a really exciting program, and it's been kicked off just in, I think, this year. And we are looking also, we totally believe in radical collaboration. Mm-hmm. So my vision is that we get a bunch of other beauty brands to sign on and partner with us, because this isn't just, I want to pat Pacifica on the back. This is, how do I get my peers to join in with me and really support these organizations, specifically work with Plastic Collective to have an impact. Mm-hmm. And so really take accountability for the plastic that we're putting into the world. Even though we use PCR, so post-consumer recycled plastic, it's still there.
I've also heard you say that you've gotten feedback like, you're a beauty brand, why do you talk about politics? Because there is a certain activism that you guys do. So when you've spoken about reproductive rights, trans rights, you know, and even we've gotten that feedback in the past about, like, whenever we've it's pretty rare, but whenever we've sort of stood up for anything going on in the world. So being that politics is such a hot button issue this year, do you think consumers have, like, a legitimate case for wanting their beauty to be about beauty? Maybe it's like a bit of a reprieve because it can be very stressful in this world right now. Or what's your stance on that now?
Yeah, so a couple things. We don't cram it down people's throats. Mm-hmm. And we also don't take a strong position on, you know, politics.
Right.
Yeah.
That being said, I do take a really strong position on human rights,
yeah,
and inclusivity and standing up for people. And so I think that in beauty, beauty is about freedom of expression. It's about inclusivity. It's about living your best life. It's about being your best self. And when I see people who are our consumers being attacked for that, and or people are, you know, not, it's reproductive rights, if mm-hmm. it's issues that affect our consumer in a really big way, I'm going to stand up for that. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've been given the luxury by our consumer and having a brand and having the position that we have, that it's a responsibility for us to stand up for people and for us to use our platform for good and making a difference and making a change.
So our final question for you, Brooke, what is the dream product that's still on your bucket list to develop, create, and why? And this is really interesting because we didn't know before. Well, I didn't know that you had a background as going to aesthetic school.
Yeah. Well, first it would be a time machine, but that's not a beauty product. But maybe you could create a scent that would be like a time machine. Ooh. Like I think thinking about something that has these incredible magical powers would be something that I would want to create. I know that's not very realistic, but I think that scent is something that kind of gets you there.
Yeah.
But that would be my dream product, is something that you know, you could spray and be like, oh,
yeah.
Yeah. I just went back in time. Maybe you could actually get in a time machine. Yeah. Maybe I could invent that.
Right.
Back to the future.
But yeah.
And I'm curious, outside of Pacifica, just how big of a perfume aficionado you are. Do you have a vanity with like all different, do you collect them? Like, what is that look like?
I have literal buckets.
Really?
Yeah, like buckets. My office, if you were in my office, you would be really disturbed right now, because I've been in the perfuming mode.
Yeah.
I've been in the mode of like really pulling things together. And I am I guess you would call me a maximalist. Okay. I am a little bit of a hoarder.
Okay.
I like to have a lot of stuff, like scents mm-hmm. that I can reference and think about. And so, you know, none of us live in a vacuum. And I think there's just incredible scents out there. And so I like to get my hands on everything. My mom wore opium.
Oh,
and
really?
These are scents that I have gone back and revisited because mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, that's so familiar. My grandma wore Joy.
Oh, yeah.
She wore it until the day she died in her late 90s. She was just so, that defined part of who she was.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's amazing. I feel like once you're into perfume, it's like, it is a bit of a lifelong pursuit.
Well, thank you very much for your time. This has been a lot of fun.
Oh, my pleasure. So fun. It went so fast.
Yes. I know. Thank you. Thank you so much. And we will link to everything that you talked about on our website, so you guys can check it out there. Thank you so much, Brooke.
Thank you. All right. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. You can find details on every product mentioned in today's episode, along with our exclusive promo codes, on our blog at breakingbeautypodcast.com.
While you're there, be sure to sign up for our newsletter. Every episode will be delivered directly to your inbox, so you won't miss a single thing.
And get social with us. Let us know what you think of the episode. You can follow us on Instagram at breakingbeautypodcast.
And did you know we also have a private Facebook group? Just search Breaking Beauty Podcast Chat Room.
You can even leave us a voicemail at any time with questions or feedback at 1-844-227-0302.
And don't forget to subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts fixed. Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts, where you can show us some love by writing a review.
See you next Wednesday.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.